Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And the remedy for boredom has arrived, and you're going to be laughing today because we got Carrot Top here live from Las Vegas. I sat down with him after his show in his Inner Sanctum dressing room, and we had a blast. He's a hilarious guy, prop comedian extraordinaire. If you haven't seen him, you got to go. He's got a lot of famous fans, rock star fans, and that's because he treats his show like a rock concert. Speaking of, he's got great stories about visiting Queen drummer Roger Taylor's castle in London, hanging out with Vinnie Paul backstage, all the ridiculous prop ideas that he has. Carrot Top's also talking about how he got his name, his mentor Gallagher, and what it was like doing all those late night talk show appearances and who his favorite late night talk show host was. He's also talking about his own reality TV show appearance. He was on Star Search back in the day. Remember that? Ed McMahon's Star Search, Sinbad, Bobby Brown. He didn't win though, but he was mistaken for the singer of Simply Red. Ridiculous. He became best friends with Ed McMahon. What? And the one time he worked with WWE, and wait till you hear his Ric Flair impression, it's priceless.
Talk is Jericho.
Okay, so we're in the Inner Sanctum.
We are really in the bowels of the Luxor. In my dressing room.
Carrot Top's dressing room, but
he's
downstairs.
He's got a black eye. What happened?
Oh, man, it's tricks of the trade.
Yeah,
I got kicked in the face.
Yeah, see, I don't ever have that. You don't see a comedian with a black eye.
Like, you don't.
Oh, my God, what happened?
It's a
rough crowd tonight.
Yeah, some guy jumps on stage with, this joke sucks.
Yeah.
I
always worry about that.
I hate the Hillary Clinton pantsuit bikini.
Nice. Right? You did see the show.
I did watch it. I sat the whole time. I said the whole time for the sixth time. Can you get some new material, please?
I do, bitch. Ever? I made new stuff, man.
Every time. But the first time I was down here was I can't remember if I was with Vinnie Paul, but I remember he had a symbol up this right there, the Pantera symbol. Yeah. And Vinnie Paul's favorite comedian in the entire world is
he was just here last
Carrot
night
Top.
Too, yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? It is bizarre when it comes down to what people, when you run into people that in the business that you find out that are fans of yours.
Right. Mutual respect, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, it really is. It sounds silly, but you know, the other night we had Vince Neil came and sang. Vince Neil
for your birthday,
and Rascal Flatts showed up and sang Happy Birthday. So it's like one of those nights. Like people are always like, "Well, come on, you're used to this." I said, "No, I'm never not. I always am not." You know, Shania Twain shows up, and she came. It was great. She came to the show, and she's like, "Don't." I had not met her yet. Her people.
Right.
Said don't call her out and don't, like, you know, whatever, like it's you tonight.
And don't give her a shout out, right?
Don't give her a shout out and don't let her know people are here. And then it actually wants to just be low key. So I do the crown shot with the thing where I bring the crown out. She's the first one standing going, "Give me a shot," like literally. So I'm like, "Here's a shot of crown." I didn't say Shania Twain, but she was standing completely like, "I want a shot of crown." And after she came back, she's like, "Oh my God, your show is so funny." And we just became like best friends. So.
And by the way, like, there was a time where she was, and maybe even still now, but the hottest girl ever.
Oh, she's beyond beautiful. Seriously.
Like, from Timmins, Ontario. I'm Canadian. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah,
I've done my research, man.
Tonight.
You know.
Yeah. But from Timmins, Ontario, Shania Twain, that's,
she's
like,
still hot.
That's unbelievably
she's
crazy.
Still hot. No, she's still hot. Seriously.
Yeah.
She came back and she's still...
She's
smoking
still hot.
And sweet on top of it, yeah.
But you're a rock guy because your act is, that's why I liked your actor from the start. It's very much based around rock and roll and music.
I love music. And, you know, when I first started doing comedy, it was always funny. I always wanted, when I went and saw comedy when I was a kid, I was in college, but was the first time I was ever at a comedy club. I liked comedy as a kid, but when the first comedy club I went to, I kept thinking, you know, it's funny to watch it. I love the idea of the performance, but at the end of it, I wanted to be like you're at a concert. I don't want you to feel like you're at a comedy club. I wanted you to leave with a bang. And so when I started doing comedy, I came up with this idea of doing all the rock stuff at the end. And not just at the end, but during the show, too.
Sure.
So the whole show is full of music and full of
sound effects, clips.
And everything. Yeah. So I tried to – it started out just one thing, and then it slowly evolved into this whole thing now, which is great because there's never one thing that I can say, I can put that in my show right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to put a picture tonight if I didn't have time because I just – when I came to the show tonight, someone showed me a picture of Iron Maiden's plane landing
right
at Nevada.
Yeah,
at the Vegas airport.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh my God!" It's the first thing I thought. I was like, "I got to work harder. I got to get a plane right." So I'm thinking to Jeff, I said, "Get that, and we'll put that in the show." Like tonight, when I said Iron Maiden's playing here, and the whole crowd went nuts, which was cool. I didn't think
a lot of Maiden fans were here.
My old crowd would know Iron Maiden. But then again, I said Iron Maiden's old. So anyway. I was going to put a joke with Iron Maiden's plane landing and say, look how cool that is. This is me landing in Vegas. It was going to be some stupid, like, you know.
Rickshaw.
Horrible.
Biplane.
Biplane, bad landing, crash, flip. Well, and so we didn't have time to get that in the show, but we'll have it in the show tomorrow. So, yeah, it's
I'll have you know that, not to name drop, but Adrian Smith is a friend of mine, and it's his birthday today. And we were actually went – it's a funny story. I landed at about 6 o'clock, and then I ran over to the Delano in the Mandalay.
Or Delano. Delano.
Delano. Canadian. Hey, the fucking Delano. But it was Adrian's birthday party, so he invited me over. So I went over for one drink. I got to split. I got to oversee Carrot Top.
How cool is that?
And he's like, oh, Carrot Top. I'm like, yeah, he's a comedian. I know him.
Bring him.
Comedian, right?
How
yeah.
Cool
so
is that?
That's like I left the Maiden party to come hang out with you.
Nice.
So there you go.
We stepped down, by the way, but thank you for coming.
But not necessarily, because what I was going to say about Vinnie Paul is that I went to his house here in Vegas.
Yeah.
He's got
a dorm room, really. It's not a house. It's a dorm room. It's not a house.
The Elvis room, which is all green.
Yeah.
He's got the Jimi Hendrix room, which is purple, and he's got the Carrot Top room, which is all orange.
Yes, indeed.
So that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
You can get syphilis in my room, by the way. If you sleep in a Vinnie's house, seriously. Be careful. Get your shots.
Did you, when you were a kid growing up, did you ever want to get into a band or be in a rock
always,
band?
No, seriously, to this day, I play drums.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
So I played drums my whole life, and so, yeah, I always wanted to be in a band. I never could figure out how to be in a band, or they would allow me to be in a band. But I've always been inspired by music, and which I know you as
right,
well,
sure.
Band. And a lot of my friends are in bands. It's weird. And I've always met drummers. I've always, for some reason, I'll walk into I'll meet a band and I'll immediately, and I haven't seen the band, I'll say, you're the drummer.
There's the
right,
drummer.
Right? And he was like, yeah, man. I'm like, yeah, you're the drummer. So I love drummers. One of my favorite moments in my life since I've been doing this, because I've met a lot of people, you'd meet famous people, you know, and it's still cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the drummer from Queen came, and I remember them
Roger
saying,
Taylor.
Roger Taylor's coming, yeah. And so I was like, Roger Taylor. And there's like, Roger Taylor. I said, the only Roger Taylor I know is the drummer from Queen. And there's another drummer, Roger Taylor, from
Duran Duran.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I was like, is it Queen? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, no. I mean, I got chills just saying it. I go, no. And they go, yeah, no, the drummer from Queen's coming. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And he walked, literally walked, before the show, they brought him back in here, and he walked through that door right there. And I was like, holy shit. Because that band was my, it's still to this day is my favorite, but I mean, I have every archive, everything about Queen, and he's standing in front of me, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like, it's really rock royalty. I mean, it's like, there's
absolutely
not that many people that you really just like.
And that's not an exaggeration, that's the truth. That's the top
right,
of the top.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God, and so he's there, and then he comes to the show, and then we had a really, really good show that night, and he comes back after, and he's like, Scott. This is my horrible London impression. He's like, Scott, it was so wonderful. He was so, it was so great. Oh, my God, this is so fun. And so I was like, oh, great. So you want to hang out and have a, he's, yeah. Anyway, so they were staying, his wife was staying, and, well, they actually wasn't his wife yet. They were getting married. I picked him up and took him to lunch in my car. Like, seriously. And I'm driving him in my car from, like, Caesars to the Bellagio. And I remember thinking, are you kidding me? I'm driving the drummer from Queen, Roger Taylor, in my goddamn car. Are you kidding me? I've never, right? I mean, I'm serious.
Right.
And so, oh, my God. And then, you know how people always say, if you're ever in London, look us up. You stay at our flat, you know? And I'm like, yeah. I've never been to London. I go, yeah, of course. When I go to London, I'm gonna call you. So sure enough, my girlfriend and I were going to London. And I said to her, should I call Roger and say, hey, we're going to be in London. I'm going to take you up on that offer. And she's like, well, yes, you should. So I called him and I said, Roger, it's Karen Scott. I'm going to London. And he's like, when? And I said, in like, you know, 3 weeks. And he's like, well, you must stay with us. I said, well, we got a hotel. We don't want to stay, you know, do that. We got our own hotel down in London. And da, da, da. He said, well, you must come. We'll take you to Queen the Musical. So I get to go to Queen the Musical with him.
With Roger
and
Taylor.
Sit him. And we're watching Queen the Musical. And it was phenomenal. And all he kept saying was, this is complete rubbish. He kept saying that. I go, it's not. He says, rubbish.
He kept saying that to you?
Yeah. This is complete rubbish. You want to go? And I said, no, I don't want to go. This is awesome. Well, I'm going to go. I'll meet you in the lobby. He went and yelled at the band. Said he was you know, telling.
He didn't like it.
No, he didn't like it. Well, just if I saw Carrot the Musical, I probably wouldn't like it.
Right. So, someone playing you. Yeah.
So anyway, he was like, he didn't. Anyway, went to dinner. Da-da. Now, here's the best part of the – I love telling this story. So my girlfriend and I had gone to Stonehenge, which you got to do, you know, the tourist thing.
Classic.
So we went to Stonehenge. And
Stonehenge.
It was horrible. It was really freezing cold. And we're there, and she's sick. She doesn't feel well. And so I said, well, I have to go. Roger's invited us over to his house in London on the way back, and they live in Surrey, right? And I go – she goes, Surrey. And I said, remember that movie Kate Winslet. Sorry, that's Crown Royal.
Okay.
Kate Winslet and...
that's Grey Goose.
There you go.
Kate Winslet and Hugh...
Yeah.
He's in every English movie. Hugh...
Something. And so, so we got to go...
McDonald
that's
McDonald
That's where the whole movie is based in Surrey. Anyway, she's sick. And I hate telling her, make her throw her under the bus here, but she's sick and she's like really not, she's grouchy as women can be. And so I said, well, I can't take you back to the hotel in London because it's going to be on the way to London, so we're not going to make it back. We can't be an hour and a half late going to their house.
Right.
And I kept saying, and it's going to be a castle. This is like rock royalty. And she's like, oh, one of your stupid rock and roll friends. I'm not going to the, she's thinking like Vinnie Paul's dorm room. And I go, no, this is Roger Taylor, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't know what I'm – that's me talking French. She's like, what? I'm like, Roger Taylor. She's hearing – so
Art
we're driving.
Smith.
And the driver says to me – I said to the driver, I said, I'm getting directions from his wife. So I get the directions and I give it to him and he says, oh, this is a lovely part of town. So we pull in and I said, do you want to take a bet that it's a castle? She goes, yeah, I'll bet you. I said, what are you betting? She has no money. So I said, what are you betting? Blowjob, what are you betting? She's like, whatever. I said, bet just something. Bet $50. She says, okay, $50, you're on. It's a castle. She's like, it's not a castle. Whatever. I'm sick. Just take me there. Let's eat and go. Get on the phone. She's like, are you close, Scott? I said, yeah. We're getting off the exit. She's like, just go down to the left, and you'll see these gates. And I'm like, gates? Da, da, da. And then we'll buzz you in. We get there. It's a goddamn castle. You can look it up online. Roger Taylor's house is a it's like 1850 whatever the hell.
And that's
it was.
Legit. Like that's
legitimately
what happens
to me.
Like, a castle.
There's like 100 acres and it's a like the Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so we pull in and she's like, "All right. $50, you got it." And she's like, "Oh my god, then she felt like, oh my god, you're right." Best part all in the story. We have lunch. Had a butler make us lunch. It was like unbelievable. And then he says, Scott, it's in my studio. And I said, yeah. And she's like, I can tell she's sick. She's like, all right. Well, I can see now she's a little more in being more of a team player. Let's play. So we go to the studio, which is inside this castle. And it's like a huge thing. And it's like he's got 50 sets of drums, literally, maybe more. And an actual sound studio and a stage. It looks like you just can't believe it. And so my girlfriend says, he must really like drums. I'm like, fuck. And I lose my mind. I look over, and Roger is, thank God he's old and he can't hear a goddamn thing. He had no idea. He goes, what, darling, what'd you say? I said, she says, she likes your drums. And he goes, oh, yeah. Well, I've got, these are all my drums. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's this fucking drummer from Queen. Like, right. She didn't know he was
a
drummer.
She wouldn't understand what he means.
She just thought he was in the band. Maybe he played like, woodblock or triangle or was a drummer player
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we became really good friends, and we still.
But
we
isn't
still
that amazing though? When you get that, like somebody who has mutual respect for what you do, and then you become
absolutely.
Friends with them
absolutely.
As a result.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And he respects me more than I respect. You know, I mean, the same level like I'm like, no, you're a legend. I'm just an idiot. Like, you know what I mean?
But yet he came and saw your show and thought you're really funny.
Right.
So that I've
blows
often found that, like, this is a long. Story I've told many times, but Paul Stanley to me.
I just told a longer one. Please tell one.
But Paul Stanley.
Your audience is like,
wake up! Hello, we're here with Terror Top. So Paul Stanley was like my hero of all heroes, and over the last year or so, I've become friends with him. And once you break down the wall of, oh my gosh, it's Paul Stanley! Ah, it's Roger Taylor! And then you realize it's just a dude who got lucky doing what he always wanted to do, just like you, just like me, and suddenly we're just dudes.
Yeah.
That's a cool moment when that happens.
That does. That does go away. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if Vince Neil and Rascal Flatts are singing you happy birthday.
No, but you do. You have that. Like, I'm friends with Vince now, so we I've seen him in every different
But when you first met Vince, you're probably like, oh!
Yeah, because I was like, oh my God. I mean, I watched every video, like, when I was a kid. I was like, that's
Motley Crue was God.
I want to be that guy.
Right. But you, in a way, kind of are that guy. In your world.
Right, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, look, dude, I'm laughing right now. Yeah. I pulled this up to look at it. I'm staying at the Luxor, and I'm looking at the room key. Laugh until you're orange in the hair, Carrot Top. Yes. You are like the face of the Luxor at this point.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's huge.
They need to reface it, but yeah. I know what you're saying.
Can
though,
we get a new face?
You do have that moment, though, where you are, like, what's funny was the other night when we got done with the show and they sang and they said good night. We came back stage and we were walking down the stairs to come back here, and I remember thinking, "Come on! I mean, this is Vince is standing there next to me going, "Hey, man, was that you know whatever?" And I'm like. Like you think someone's you know all the years there was someone walked him off stage with a flashlight
right
and
yeah
crew,
yeah
and he's
sibilance
walking, he's walking me off going hey yeah man and I'm like this is ridiculous it's surreal.
All right, I'm in Carrot Top's dressing room at the Luxor. I saw the show. Great show. Very, very funny. Now, are you working 6 days a week?
Yeah, 6 days
a week. I mean, this is at the Luxor. Once again, all
my
jokes
My manager has a car payment, so I work 6 nights a week.
Right. You've paid your car off a long time ago. But
no, my manager has a car payment.
That's what I'm saying. You've paid your car off a long time ago.
I'll
pay his car off.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, like, and this is not a joke. For the Luxor, obviously, if you're on the keys, this is like the entertainment is Carrot Top is a big part of this whole entertainment area called the Luxor. Do you do your show sometimes and see somebody in the crowd that you didn't know was here, or do you always know when somebody of notoriety shows up?
Well, no, we usually know because I don't like surprises, so we usually know if someone's there. But there has been times before in the past that I didn't know before here. Like I was playing Nashville, and I got done, and they said, "Do you know the Dixie Chicks were out there?" And I was like, "Get out!" They go, "No, they were sitting like their row in their lap." I'm like, "I wish I would have known that." You know what I mean? Like, so,
right?
Yeah. But then you find out later on in life, and like the other night when I was at Rascal Flatts, they're like, "We just watch you in Nashville," and I'm like, "At the Zanies Comedy Club." I said, "I didn't know you were ever out there," you know. So it's kind of cool.
I love that it was called Zanies.
Zanies.
Or,
it's one of the biggest comedy clubs in the South.
In Winnipeg, it was Yuck Yucks.
Yuck Yucks and Zanies and Ha Ha's and Hee Hee's and yeah. There's so many of them. The Funny Bone, the Chuckle Bone, the Bone.
Yeah. Now, as a comedian. It would seem to me that having this kind of your own theater in Vegas is a plum gig because you don't have to go on the road.
No, it's tremendous.
What are the pros and cons of having your own place where you never go anywhere? Is there any cons at all?
No, I fought it for years when they first asked me about doing it. I said no. In fact, we were at the MGM for 10 years. So we do our shows and then we do on the road. So we do like a semi, kind of like what Elton John does now, where he comes in for like 2 weeks and then leaves and goes to come back for, you know, a semi residency. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they asked me to do the residency full time here, and I said no. I actually turned it down.
And why is that?
Because I like the road, and I didn't like playing Vegas, and I didn't think that playing Vegas I might want to hang myself. So I said no. I don't want that. And then they were like, they talked me into it. First year in was really rough. I couldn't quite get the rhythm of doing a show overnight, 6 nights a week in Vegas. And we were doing two at the time on Saturdays. So it was rough. I didn't have a house here yet, and I was living in the hotel, and I was really miserable. I was like, I don't like this. I want to get out of this gig.
What's rough about it?
Well, because it didn't have the energy of the row, and you were kind of it felt stagnant, and I didn't have my Vegas legs, and they were just on bus legs. to do the show that I thought I could do. And then one day it hit me. I don't know what happened. I just kind of got into the rhythm. We finally got into the rhythm, and now I love Vegas. I would never change it in the world. The road's fun, and it's great to do. Like, we do small stints. We do out for, you know,
you just did, 10 days. Mentioned you did Canada.
Yeah, we did.
And
yeah, Canada.
Places,
we do, and we did a run in Florida, Mississippi, where we did like 10 shows. Energy was great. We had the tour bus, the whole nine yards.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, tour bus. Motley Crue, Nascar Reba, which is a true story because I pulled into it. It's not a joke. Well, I changed it to Reba just because it's still
here. It's great.
I look like
she has red hair,
female.
Red
yeah.
Hair.
But I pulled into, in the tour bus years ago, my crew, my same crew still with me, we pulled into a Wendy's. When it's, you know, when you're on the road, you can only eat, you know, wherever you can park.
Wendy's, though?
Yeah, it was a Wendy's. Yeah, no, Wendy's. Same
it
thing.
It could be you, right?
It could have been, yeah. So I pull into, she's here. No. Shit, she's here, clean up. Wendy's here. So we pulled into this Wendy's, and I remember there's a Wendy's and a ice cream, the Dairy Queen next to it. It was like a whole, like a, you know, truck stop triple threat thing. So we pulled in, we got the bus, and we pulled in, and my crew remembers this. And we're standing there, and I order food, and these people were there, and they're like, they saw the tour bus, and they were like, dude, they're like, can we get a picture with you? And I said, yeah. They're like, man, Simply Red, man. And I was like, what's that? And they're like, Simply Red. And I go, yeah. And it's easier just to go along with it.
You got to, right?
Instead of change. So I said, yeah, I would do that. I mean, they say Shaun White. I go, yeah, Shaun. I signed Shaun
White.
That's
another one, Shaun White, yeah.
So I go, yeah, Simply Red. And he's like, no way, man. So now there's a whole bunch of black people. So they came over, and they're like, Simply Red, man. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what's that mother song, man? And I go, what's that song you sing? And I go, well, I have a lot of songs. They go, no, what's the big fucking hit? I go, they're all hits. And they go, no, the one. So I swear to God in my life, what happened was this stupid little goddamn thing turned into this whole, like, I got myself into a lie I can't get out of. And I'm like, I don't know every song. They're all big. And he's like, no, the one, though, that was really big. And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm trying to think right now.
I don't even know. Right? I don't even know. And I'm like, oh, my God.
If you don't know me by now.
Oh, Missy, if I know you.
If you don't know me by now, is that the one?
If you don't know me by now.
If you, yeah. You'll never know me. Or some shit.
That's the one.
Yeah.
But I wish guys, you should have been there to help me.
But guys, I guess, don't know that song. We should not know.
So they thought, I don't know. So I'm literally signing Simply Red. I'm taking pictures. I get on the bus, and this guy's like, Carrot Top. And this black guy goes, hey, who? Again, Carrot Top's Simply Red. I said, well, I have two. I go by Simply Red or Carrot Top. Seriously, I got into a lie I couldn't get out of. Oh, my God.
Because you're trying to make the fans feel better.
Yeah.
I had that once when I was working at Zeller's in Winnipeg, which is the Canadian equivalent of Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And this old lady thought my name was Dave. My name is Chris.
Nice.
And I had my name tag on. Whenever she came by, I would always cover my name tag or take it off for a year. I did not tell her that my name was not Dave because I didn't want to be rude.
Nice.
So she would. She comes to take my name.
Dave.
Yeah. Hi, Dave. Hey. And, you know, hey, Chris. Shh.
No.
You know, but that's the thing. You don't want to make him feel bad. So you get into this wormhole of a lie of Simply Red.
Yep.
How do you get
Same
out of
thing.
It?
I didn't know what to do. I just kept lying.
Right?
People always do that to me at the gym. Like, hey, Chris. Some guy at the gym calls me Chris every day. He's like, hey, Chris. And I'm always like, it was like a Seinfeld episode. At one point, that you correct him? I said, it's been too long now. He's always like, hey, Chris.
And
I
right.
I just go, Chris. I go, hey, man. And then friends like, Chris. And I go, it's okay.
He
calls me Chris every day.
In the WWE, I've been working there for 16 years, and there's people that were never introduced to me when I first got there. And you know when you first get somewhere, there's 50 new names.
Sure.
And there's still guys that I don't know their names.
Yeah.
But what do you say? Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to look at their ID badges, and I'm trying to pickpocket their wallets. But, you know, that's just how it goes. You just don't know for sure, right? But, I mean, you're talking about being, going on the road and stuff and being on a tour bus. And the idea of being on a tour bus is so cool until you actually get on one.
Nice.
It's nice, but
it's not.
What's the number one rule of a tour bus?
Well, what do you mean? Well, there's a couple of number one rules.
What's giving me?
No, number two.
The number one rule of being on tour bus, people, is don't go number two. You can't go number two.
Yeah,
we got it.
I got it right. Whoo!
You got the Simply Red wrong, but you got the first rule of the bus right.
Bus tour, yeah. I did. I've done too many bus tours. But, you know, when we just did the last tour in Florida, we actually had so much fun. And we're going through my hometown, so it was a lot of stress. Because
you're from Orlando, right?
Yeah, so all the hometown shows were like, they're full of... I mean, Hulk Hogan came to the one in...
Really?
Yeah, Hulk came to the one in Sarasota.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, funny story about Hulk. One of the first years, times I did a show in Orlando, this is like, God, almost 10, 15 years ago. It's a big theater. There's a bottom and then a balcony. Yeah. And so there's this, it wasn't heckling. It was just someone like, he kept chiming in on every goddamn joke, right? And I remember going like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. Like, it was just weird. And after the show, at my meet and greet, my green room, and da-da-da, they brought people back. And Hulk Hogan walks back, and I said, Hulk Hogan's here. He's like, I said, you're the fucking one that was yelling at me? He goes, yeah. I was like, it was just so funny, because he wasn't heckling me. He was just trying to, I said, well, I don't need your help. I wrote it without your help.
Right.
I don't need you there. But we've been friends for a good long time. Yeah, maybe almost 20 years probably.
And once, so you grew up in Orlando?
I grew up in Cocoa Beach and then Orlando, yeah.
Which, are you a wrestling fan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because that was a big wrestling area.
Yeah, and I did some stuff for the WWF when I did AT&T commercials. We did a whole...
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did a whole thing where oh, my God.
I forgot about that. AT&T commercials were huge.
Yeah, I went to the one in Connecticut where the big home...
Stamford.
Headquarters. And we did a whole commercial there. I got beat up and da-da-da.
Really?
Yeah, it's cool.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I was not aware of that fact. But it's, you know, it's funny. Tonight, though, when you were showing some of the clips, like your acting,
I know Ric Flair too very well.
Yeah. What does he do? Woo. is he a monkey
woo.
Now?
Is he woo, woo, woo?
He goes woo,
woo, whatever I'm doing wrong. But I live in Charlotte, so I always saw him. I always saw him at the gym and whatever, and he was always like, "Care Doc, woo."
Make him sound like a regular woo.
He's an ape now. Well, he's old. He's older. He's older.
What is that?
He can't. This is him.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Who let the dogs out?
Well, he's older now. He's like, he can't ride to the what he used to do. I don't know.
But here's funny.
You should beat up. Don't get me beat up.
Your act is so well put together. And the one thing I like tonight is you're showing some clips that I hadn't seen before. Finally, some new material. Thank God. It was you on Star Search. Now, here's the thing. I used to be obsessed with Star Search. Okay.
Me
I used
too.
To, every Sunday night it was on. So when I was a kid, you have to go to bed by 10:30.
Yep.
And 9 to 10 was Star Search. So that was the end of my weekend for me. So when Star Search was over, it was time. Oh, I got to go to bed and got to wake up. And there's three Sinbad.
Yeah, it's Sinbad.
Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Who, if I could have voted at the time, I would have. And Carrot Top. I remember this.
Really?
And you showed it tonight.
Yeah.
And I thought that you...
Well, that's what was fun for me, too, because being on that show was such a big deal to me because of the fact, what you just said, growing up with it. Younger people now are people that watch... Like, the older people probably will appreciate it, but as an entertainer or wanted to be an entertainer...
This was like the first version of American Idol or The Voice, where fans had a say in who would win.
No, that was the... That's what I'm saying. That was The Voice, the American Idol, all that.
And the first version of that.
Absolutely. It was the first version. And that's why when I did that, it was such a special moment for me to be on that show. I couldn't believe it. I mean, before I did The Tonight Show and all those, I was like, oh, my God, I'm on Star Search. I watched it as a kid.
Right.
So it was the same thing as going on The Tonight Show and standing on the star where Johnny stands. So I was like, holy f-. There's not. I just hope that younger people now still have those things that we did growing up, because everything's gotten so commercialized and so big and broad. There's thousands of TV shows and thousands of channels. We only had 2, 6, and 9. You know, we had
right.
So,
and it happened to be in Sunday Night. That was one of the
right,
shows.
Right,
Star
right,
Search,
right. Yeah. Indeed. So that was like such a big deal to me. So I wonder about kids now. Do they have that same? I guess it would be The Voice or be American Idol.
But I don't know if it's the same thing though, dude. Because like. I mean, how hard was it for you to get on that show?
Oh, it was really hard, yeah. No.
Like, you're starting on Orlando as a young comic.
No,
did
I
you
couldn't
send
believe
in a
it.
Tape,
I still can't believe I do this every night growing up. I honestly am one of those people that I've never taken it for granted. I always think it's so weird. I thought about today. I remember because I was my nephew, and I remember he was playing lacrosse, and I remember in the car.
I saw that on your Instagram. Your nephew played a game today.
17-0.
I was going to say 17-0. I was going to tell you 17-0.
He's a hot shot.
And that was here in Vegas, or was that?
Yeah, here in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I was just driving the car, and I remember reflecting, thinking about the fact that how the hell did I be? I remember driving in my little pickup truck, my little one trunk of props, to do a gig for like $100. It was a lot of money.
Sure.
The $100 paid for
like
everything
Destin,
for a month.
Or something.
Yeah, Destin. Well, good. I did play Destin. And then my friend said,
Sanford.
Sanford. Yeah. I got you a gig for $250. And I was like, $250?
Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. That paid for the whole month.
Right.
So I was like, you know, and I'm thinking like, and here I am like, Rascal Flatts and Motley Crue are singing to me on my birthday, and I get to do a show overnight. It's weird that, but I've never ever stopped thinking about that thing. You know,
I never got
absorbed into that. I still think it's phenomenal that I get to do this.
But you understand, because you came through this the right way in show business. David Lee Roth said it, and you'll know this quote: "Here today, gone later today."
Yeah, yeah.
And that really is the truth. Like, you constantly have to be hustling. I don't care if you have your own theater at the Luxor with your own room. You could show up next week, and if you're not holding your weight, you could show up next week and you know, the Amazing Jonathan has moved in or whatever.
Yeah, like, that's not going to happen. But anybody else, that's not going to happen.
But you know what I mean? Like, you have to. You,
I love the Amazing Jonathan. He's one of the only people that maybe he makes me cry out loud. Like, literally, he's one of
laughing,
my best friends.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you a story. We had a barbecue at my house. This is years ago when I first moved into my house. Had a volleyball thing. This is how retarded he is. Retarded, I mean, in a good way, not like retarded. We're having volleyball, and he says, I had a Hummer at the time. He says, I just got a new Hummer. I say, really? He said, you want to go see it? And I go, yeah.
I mean, the vehicle, the Hummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
He walks me out. Now, he walks me all the way from my backyard, the thing to the house, the driveway, all the way down the goddamn street. And his friend is sitting on a rock in front of my house going, And I go, are you f***ing shit? That's such Jonathan, right? It's so Jonathan. His Hummer. Here's his Hummer. And he's waiting there. I'm like, the funniest part is that you sat there for an hour waiting for me to come out just to do your hum. But it's like, I never ever forgot that. I was like, God damn it.
So give me a C, a high C,
Jesus,
and you'll hold a C
Christ.
Over your head,
so
right?
I see my new Hummer? I bit right into it. Went out to the
well,
street.
You were out there.
Where
there
is
it was.
Where is it?
There you go. But when you actually, I want to ask you about a couple things that you mentioned earlier. When you did the Star Search,
yep.
What was the environment like? Because you're a young guy and you're up against somebody
terrified,
else. And Ed McMahon is involved. Did you get any one-on-one with Ed McMahon at all?
Oh yeah, no, we became best friends after that.
Seriously?
I'm not even kidding you.
How do you become best friends with Ed McMahon?
I don't know, but somehow we befriended each other. I did the show. I'll tell you what happened. I did the show and I lost first round. Anybody, I was supposed
but it seems like to me you're on longer
I,
than that.
I was supposed to be the projected winner because everybody was saying Carrot Top's going to win this thing. He's got the props. He's got the thing. And, da, da, da. And I lost Bob Zaney. Bob Zaney was here last night. He came over and gave me my.
Really?
Yeah. He gave me that Dumb and Dumber book, Dumb and Dumber for Dummies. And he came back here. And we're like best friends, me and Bob.
He's the guy that beat you on Star Search.
Yeah, but we're like.
And the fact is, it's Bob Zaney.
Bob
really.
Zaney. I know, Zaney.
Bob Wacky.
I'm telling you, Bob Wacky.
Bob Guffaw. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
But
man.
He did, but anyway, he,
right,
he did
whatever.
Beat
he
me.
He still beats you.
And he's awesome. I love Bob.
Yeah.
Funny guy. So he came back. Anyway, then we did the thing, beat me. And then somehow I was doing all the Tonight shows at the time. I was doing a lot of Tonight shows, and he would show up still. Ed McMahon, not even that he wasn't even working there, but he still kind of a support. A lot of the people that Tonight Show still kind of showed, and he said hi to me, and then I did the telethon, the Jerry Lewis telethons, and he was really involved with the telethon, and so half the time that I came on, if it wasn't Jerry Lewis that introduced me, it was
huge,
Ed McMahon,
though,
Ed McMahon was like, and he did the darn and raw and car cop, and I did the show, and then after the show, all of a sudden, I remember I was at a baggage claim in LAX. And I said, hey, Ed. And he was like, Carrot Top. And he's like, here's my number. Call me. So we became really good friends. And I would call him all the time. And he called my office all the time. And then he got really sick. He had that mold in his house.
Yeah.
That's how he died.
What?
It's the strangest thing in the world. He had that mold that's in your house. And he and his wife.
Which
and,
they always say could be very bad for your health.
Right. And he was 80-something. I don't know how old he was at the time. He was 80-something. And one day he called the office, and my secretary said, oh, my God, Ed McMahon just called here. Is that really him? I said, yeah, it's Ed. He, you know, da-da-da. And we spoke and talked, and then like a month later, he passed away from
from the mold.
From the mold, it was
Are you kidding me?
Swore my life. But Ed McMahon was actually a really, really dear friend of mine. Isn't that weird? After all these years of watching him as a kid, I mean, literally as a kid, sitting in my room watching. I remember literally sneaking out into my house and watching that show, The Tonight Show, on this wood. My dad built this out of his own hand, built this goddamn wood cabinet with a TV in it. And I would sit there and watch, and my mom would say, "Go to bed, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching The Tonight Show." And I watched Don Rickles and Jonathan Winters and all those guys.
All those guys.
And George Carlin. And I really, that's when I got fascinated with comedy.
From The Tonight Show.
Watching The Tonight Show and those guys. And it was, I remember it was Jonathan Winters, Don Rickles, and George Carlin. I remember those three, and Bill Cosby as well. And I remember thinking, "Oh my God, this is like, this is what I want to do." Mm. But I didn't know how to do it. I just remember saying, "How do you get? Is that a job?"
Yeah, yeah. How does that become a thing?
You go to clown school or whatever. I never knew. And then you just fast forward life, and I don't even know.
Well, how did you do it? Like,
it's a bizarre thing.
But before you answer that, like, and I want you to answer that, but you're talking about prop comedy, which is your gig, but you're actually a stand-up guy too. You do a lot of stand-up. But I'm thinking prop comedians. I can't. The only
Gallagher.
Guy I, can, Gallagher. I was going to say Gallagher. That's the only guy I can think of is Gallagher.
He was my hero.
Really?
Yep.
From the Carson show, you saw Gallagher on it.
Gallagher or? On there, and make me laugh.
Gallagher would do the thing where he would smash the hammer.
No, he had his props and his jokes. He was really funny. He was, how do you drive in a parkway and park on a driveway? He always had these. Why do they call them buildings when they're done building? They should call them builds. He had always these brilliant lines. Really, really, really smart stuff. In fact, he's a genius. So I'm like 16 years old, maybe 15 years old, and living in Cocoa, Florida, 2 doors down. Was this general, the Army general, four-star general, General Manis. His daughter married Gary Proper, who was Gallagher's manager.
Oh, what?
Right.
What a coincidence.
So I don't know this. So Ruthie and Gary were there once in a while. And I just knew Gary. And Gary says, you want to come to this Gallagher show? And I said, what's Gallagher? And he says, the comedian. And my dad knew of Gallagher. I didn't know. And so I went down to Melbourne at this weird like skate expo. It was like a skating thing, and then Gallagher performed. And I'm 15, maybe 14, and I'm like, oh my God, this was brilliant. He was so funny. So fast forward, I knew him for a long time. So then I go to college, and then I started doing comedy in college, and I get invited to go to the concert in Fort Lauderdale, which was at the time, this is the biggest, it was like 5,000 seat theater, right? And I remember seeing him in like a 200 seat little skate expo. So I go, Gary picks me up, takes me there, and I'm like, holy shit, this is like the real deal, like, right? It's like the Coliseum here. So I watch the show, and I'm like, I'm blown away. They bring me backstage, and Gallagher says, "Hey," and I said, "I hear you doing comedy." And I said, "Yeah, give me one of your jokes." And I said, "Oh,
what do you do, right?"
I freaked out. I was only 16 years old, or no, I was in the college now, so I was like 20. Yeah. And he's like, "I said, what's one of your jokes?" So I'm on the spot, so I said, "You're living in Florida, because that's where I lived, and it was in Florida." I said, "You can't have a fire on the beach." I said, "You can have one in the woods, but you can't have a fire on the beach," which is still true to this day. You can't have a fire on the beach. They still have little signs, "No fires on the beach." So I said, "Well, you're next to two things that put fires out, this water and sand. Why can't you have a fire on the beach? But you can take it in the woods."
Right.
And he goes, "Oh, that's good, but you're giving the punchline away." And he did some weird explanation of the thing.
He helped you out.
And then I did and I came up with some other joke. And then I was with him in Vegas, my first time ever in Vegas. So I was like 20. No, I was 17 at the time. That's why. Going back far. I was 17 years old. I was at the Sands with him. And I'm walking to the stage with him. And there's a big door. And it's gone now, but it was a big, you see these doors all the time, it's like a big, like, door. And the big spray paint on it says, "This door must remain closed at all times." You see this all the time. So I'm standing there, and he's banging on the door, trying to get in the backstage. And he's banging on the door, and I said, "Well, it says this door must remain closed at all times. Why is there even a door. It shouldn't be a wall. And he goes, what? I said, well, it says door must be remain closed at all times, and there should be a wall. And he goes, I like that. So that night on stage in the Sands, he did the joke, and he goes, that my friend Scott wrote that. And I'm like, hi. And I never forget that. I was 16.
Why were you out in Vegas with Gallagher?
Because Ruthie and Gary invited me out,
okay.
Even knowing that I wanted to be a comedian. And then going back, fast forward to becoming a comedian, going backstage and at that concert when I was 20, he would give me one of your jokes, and I told him one
That's
of my jokes.
That's amazing.
Then the next thing I know, I call Gary. He's living in Hawaii at the time, and I said, Gary, I'm on the Tonight Show tonight. And he says, what's on the Tonight Show? I said, I'm on the Tonight Show. And he goes, I don't understand. I said, I'm on the Tonight Show tonight. And he's like, doing what? I said, my act. I'm on the Tonight Show. And I think it kind of blew everybody away that I was – and Gallagher, I think, got pissed in a sense because you think you'd be like this guy like, hey, you know, we've now become friends again. But I think he gets got jealous
protege.
Like,
well,
my protege, thank you. He should have been like, fuck yeah, I'll watch. I'll give you some critique. I'll give you what my pointers or whatever you did right or wrong. But anyway, it felt
– But he was mad that you were on
felt,
and he wasn't.
I think he felt it was a threat that this young, stupid kid, which I am still this day, made it on the Tonight Show. So anyway, I did really well. And then I called and I said, what'd you think? He says, holy shit, I can't believe this. You're this 14-year-old kid that lived next to me in Orlando. And,
were you 14 on the Tonight Show?
No.
Oh, you were.
When he met me, I was 14.
Sure.
And so to fast forward to becoming an actual comedian on the Tonight Show, he was like, what the f-? And I said, to this day, I still say the same thing. So now Gallagher and I have actually become really good friends again. He comes here all the time, and he gives me shit. He gives me shit, basically.
Because like I was thinking,
I'm like, you're my hero. You do understand. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
But
he really is my hero.
Did you ever hear, and this might even be true, I'm going to say rumor, but was you that he does he have a twin brother?
His brother.
Who also performs
as
Gallagher?
There's a whole story about that.
And you don't
Gallagher,
know which Gallagher
no,
is which?
It was Gallagher and Gallagher 2. And they advertised it as T-O-O, right? So it was Gallagher 2, so people were confused.
Oh, again, Gallagher 2.
And Gallagher 2 is also, but no, it was 2. But anyway, that was a weird thing that happened. And it was a weird, but yeah.
I know. I was just curious if that was a real thing or not.
Well, I had a horrible joke, and I even told Gallagher this. I said, my joke was Gallagher 2, audience nothing. Because the audiences got screwed because it wasn't Gallagher. Gallagher had the charm and the wit and the charisma, and he's the one that wrote the goddamn shit, right?
His brother.
And his brother was just – but sadly enough, his brother is actually a sweetheart and a really good guy on top of it. So I kind of felt bad when the whole thing went down. But with that
said –
What
are the chances of the twin Gallaghers?
Well, they were
– come on.
But they were literally twins. You would never know them apart.
So you would never know which Gallagher you
no,
had.
No, you would never know what
Gallagher
you had.
Was which.
Thank God there's only one Carrot Top because people would revolt. Carrot Top
did
2.
You,
no, please tell me you're kidding.
When you did Tonight Show, was that with Carson?
I wish it was with Carson. No, it was with
– With Jay?
Tim Allen. Or Allen.
Tim Allen.
Not Tim Allen.
Tim Allen or
no,
Ghost
the other
of
the
Tonight
what's
Show?
The first,
Steve Allen?
Steve Allen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I ruined the joke. If it was Steve Allen, you're like, Steve Allen. You were young.
50s.
Wow.
Yeah. How old are you?
Yeah.
Are you 100?
No, I wish it was with Carson. I knew Carson's booking agent guy for years, Jim McCauley. And he was always one of these guys. I was this young buck growing up and doing the comedy scene. And everyone was like, Carrot Top this, Carrot Top that. And he was like, I said, you know, can I do the show? And he's like, Carson's not a, he just doesn't like variety. He was honest with me. He said, I think he would like you as a, he just doesn't do variety.
Variety meaning props?
Yeah, props and juggling and anything that's variety, which is strictly
okay.
Monologist.
Ed Sullivan type shit.
He was strictly monologist. That's what he wanted to do, which, you know, you respect it. The same with Letterman. I did Letterman 10 times, but I was always doing a skit. I never did my act. I did skits on there. I would go on as a and
interesting.
Yeah.
So there was
and he loved Letterman was great. I did one of my favorite skits I did with him was the Olympics. And they had all the this is great. All the Olympics were happening and it was you know they were hosting the Olympics. It was the network and it was the judges. So the Olympic judges would judge and they pulled the cards up like a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 whatever.
Yeah, your vote.
And
yeah.
Right. So Letterman was in bed with a girl. And she held up a 4, and I'm in the bed with the girl, and they held up a 10. I was like, what the? He's like, what the? So it was really fun. Like, I trumped him on the thing. And then after we shot it, I came into his – he never says hi to anybody. He came into the room, And I remember being so, like, one of those guys, like, I, to this day, still, like, I never had enough chance to, like, really talk to him. Like, I do Jay. Leno's, like, you know.
He'll come and talk to you.
Oh, Jay's great. No, yeah. Jay's great. He's phenomenal.
His jeans and jean shirt on.
His jean jacket and his jean shoes and his jean
Canadian
hat.
Tuxedo.
His car is made out of jeans. His whole thing.
That's a true story. Yeah.
So anyway, I was he walked in and he was like, he's like, thanks for coming. And all I remember is he was so tall and
Letterman with a cigar,
tall and tan. He had a hat on and he had a cigar. He's sucking
on
a
cigar. Yeah,
he had a cigar. And I remember he's like, he goes, thanks for coming. I said, are you kidding me? This is like, I've die for this. And he went to the door and I was like, well, that was it. And he's like, that's pretty much it. Yeah. And then he walked back in and he says, really, you die for this? I said, yes. And he was like, okay. And he did the thing. And he walked out. And she's like, he never does that. So he liked me.
He came back.
But I never, he came back in again and said something like, but I remember it being so tan. It was like tan. It was like,
which is
it was
weird.
Like this brown, like leather tan hat and tall.
Yeah.
But with a cigar. Nice. Yeah. But I love Letterman. One of the best.
Late night hosts?
Ever.
But I'm a Johnny Carson fanatic. But take Johnny out of the equation, I think Dave's the best.
Yep.
I do.
I got to be honest.
And honest too. I think from nowadays, I think Jimmy Fallon is pretty badass too.
Fallon's great. Yeah. He's really, really good. Yeah. He's taking it to a new level. Actually, I think.
So when you do like you're ensconced, good word, in Vegas, do you still go do talk shows and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
If you have new material
to
try.
Absolutely.
What would predicate you to do a new talk show? New material?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So you would want to try new stuff out?
Yeah, with Jay, it was always like whenever I had a set, I would just call them and say, I have another set. And they'd bring me on.
Open invitation.
Yeah, so I would come up with all my, you know, Oscar, like the Oscar, white Oscar tonight.
Which is great. That would have been
very clever.
Let me just say, he had an Oscar statue that was completely painted white, which was very good.
Yeah, so it's timely and so that kind of stuff. Yeah, that would have been great tonight, though, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have that relationship yet with Fallon, but yet I don't know if he knows that I'm, you know, he's
Did
one of
you
my
exist?
Favorites. No, that I exist, but I think, no, they... I think he's made a few references to me. They all make jokes,
bastards. So when you, and this is the most cliche question, but are you constantly coming up with new stuff?
You have to.
Is it you by yourself? Do you have a couple guys helping you out? Hey, man, you should try this, or is it just you?
No, it's pretty much just me, really. I mean, I have my crew that I can throw it off of, you know. Usually I kind of run it by them, but I usually don't. I just do it because I believe in it. And if it eats it, then they go, "What was that?" But I think of the jokes and then I just do it and give it a shot. And if it works, it works. It doesn't.
Because
work.
You know your shtick now after so many years of doing
30
this.
30 years I've been doing this, so yeah.
30 years of doing prop.
No, the lighting is good in here. I look good. 30 years.
Now, does it? Let me ask you this, because it seemed like there was a little prejudice when you were talking about Johnny didn't like Variety being a prop comedian. Is that a bad
Not
thing?
Not at all. I live it. I love it. That's
because you're like the epitome. You're like the top guy in
that. I just think it's silly when people say, "Are you offended if they call you prop comic?" No, that's what I am. But I really am. But I want people to think that when they think of that. I want them to think prop comic, they think of me. But I also want them to, when they see the show, they'll say, you have more than to you than just that. Like,
I have
a lot of comics will come to the show and they'll say, why do people call you prop comic? You're half your show is just stand up. I said, it doesn't matter as long as people have fun and laugh. I mean, I've never thought about that title. I just think, did you come to the show? Did you laugh? That's what you do. It's a comedy show. So it doesn't matter if it's labeled prop comedy or monologist comedy or
what does monologist mean?
Monologist is just someone that just uses words. George Carlin never did any, you know, just monology, just props and no props and just talking. But I would never wanted to be that. That's what's so funny. From very early on, I knew I wasn't going to be George Carlin. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be, or Bill Cosby. I wanted to just do my thing. So I wanted to have strobe lights and music. And I did that.
The rock and roll element.
Right. And a lot of comedy clubs back in the day wouldn't book me.
Why is that?
Because I did that. They were like, we don't want that. There's a club in Atlanta called The Punchline. Another funny name. They wouldn't book me because I did Variety. However, they did book Amazing Jonathan. Amazing Jonathan was nothing but Variety. But he had an in with the guy. Maybe they did coke together. I don't know. But I'm kidding. But he never shared his coke with me, Amazing Jonathan. It's amazing. It's amazing he never shared. But
Jonathan.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I just kept going and plugging and didn't give a shit. Like, I was like, this is what I do. This is what I want to do. And everyone that always makes fun of me for my props, I always think it's silly because, you know, one time I was watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and one of my favorite people in the world is your greatest day on earth when you go back and you have to review your life. It's a wonderful
Mel Brooks? Jackie Mason?
No.
Carl Reiner?
Younger.
Pauly Shore?
No, the one where he sits in a room and they play his tape back and they go, oh shit, I was an asshole, and they get hit by a bus.
Is it a comedian?
Brooks,
Mel Brooks.
Not Mel Brooks.
I said
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks. I said Mel Brooks.
You did. That's why I went.
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks. So I love him, right? He's one of my like funny. He's just brilliant to me,
right?
Like. And so I'm literally, I remember this, I'm like, I think we were on the tour bus even, and I'm watching him on The Tonight Show. And then obviously he's like, you know, he used to juggle plates. He used to do this plate thing with the spinning plates. And
he literally showed the spinning plates.
He showed the thing of him on The Tonight Show doing that bit.
Albert Brooks used to do
Albert
that?
Albert Brooks. That's... And then it said, that's what brings me up to contemporary comics like Carrot Top. And I'm like, oh my God, the fact that he even knew me freaked me out, right? So I'm like, oh my God, what's he gonna say? And he goes, and they would laugh, and he goes, you know, but Carrot Top, you know, if American Airlines lost his luggage, he wouldn't have an act.
Mm.
And I was thinking, well, no shit. But if American Airlines lost the Rolling Stones amps
Good
or guitars,
point.
They wouldn't have a fucking act. My
That's
act
right.
is that. So I was always like, it offended me then because I'm like, why is that a put down? That's my act. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because that is what my act was.
If American Airlines lost Iron Maiden's luggage, they'd have no Eddie walking on stage.
They'd have, right.
Which is the centerpiece of their act.
Right. So my point was, like, it was insulting me, and the crowd laughed. And I'm like, why are they laughing? That is my act. I wanted to be there and say, no, that's what, of course, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like... That's the only kind of stuff that, like, I get mad about. I'm like, well, yes.
But that's not really the truth, though, because tonight half of your stuff is stand-up stuff, and there's your props.
But I think back then I probably wouldn't have been.
I gotcha.
Because I think back then I didn't have the confidence that I have to do the stand-up that I did now, that I do now. So back then it was that. But that's what it was. And so I got hurt because I was like, that is, you know, I've been out of shape. So with that said, no, being a prop comic is fucking awesome. It's what made me be Carrot Top.
Well, it makes you different from the rest. But, like, for example, wrestling-wise, the number one rule you learn is never check your gear. Like, you always have your boots and your tights. So no matter what happens, as long as you have your carry-on,
check your nuts.
But, I mean, so is there ever, would you put a couple things in your carry-on bag just in case?
Nice.
Like, I got my five or six good ones.
I should have, man.
Put the white Oscar in there. Put the Ellen DeGeneres coffee cup.
That's funny. I have thought of that. I think more of it now because I was doing of Regis and Kathy Lee back in the day. I lived in Charlotte, so it's got to have been 20 years ago when Regis and Kathy Lee were still doing the show. I had my trunk of stuff, and I had it all prepped and planned. It was like, you know, 20 killer props. And I go to the airport, and I give my trunk, and they knew me back then really well, and I said, please, I'm going to do this TV show. Make sure this stuff gets on the plane, you know? I said, oh, my God, come on, Scott, please. I said, no, please, make sure, double-check, triple-check, because I'm going... No, I can't make this up. So I go, as a U.S. Air, I'm sitting on the plane. It's like 7 in the morning, maybe even earlier than that, because I had to go tape it that morning. So I left at like 5:30 in the morning probably because it's a 9 o'clock taping. So I'm sitting on the plane. I have my coffee, and I look out the window, and I shit you not, I look out, and the conveyor belt going into the belly of the plane next to us, I see my f***ing trunk with flowers on it, right? So I go, what the fuck? Am I being punked? I go, what the f***? So I go, oh my God. So I get up and we're like, they already closed the door. I'm like, oh, please, we're leaving. Please save your seats. And I'm like, wait. And the girl's like, sir, you have to sit down. We're on an active taxiway. So I said, okay, we're on an active taxiway. Wait, I said, hold on. My luggage is going on the plane next to us. How do you know? It's a trunk covered in flowers. And they're like, seriously, they're like, are you sure? I said, yes, it's right there. And I said, that's my TV show. So luckily the pilot was a fan. That he would knock on the door and the pilot was like, what? And they said, we have to stop. The Carrot Top stuff's going on the plane next to us. And they stopped the thing. I see them bring the trunk back down, put it on our plane. And everybody's like waiting. And I'm like,
well, that's pretty rare.
Literally, I'm like, sorry.
Prop comic.
But I never forgot that. I was like,
if
I had never even thought to glance out the window or whatever, I was like, holy shit, there goes my.
There's your act.
Yeah. So thank God they pulled it back and I did the show and it was good.
But when you're first starting, like, you know, on smaller.
Are people tired of me talking yet?
No, okay. This is great. This is all genius. Every word you've said,
oh, God.
Mr. Top, has been genius. Do people.
Sounds like Gene Simmons, yes.
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 How was it for you when you first show up, like, in these smaller comedy clubs with, like, giant prop cases? Like, you know, if some comedians just show up with a microphone, that's all they need.
No.
You need cases.
I was one of a kind. I showed down in the improv, Bud Freeman. I came through the thing, and Bill Maher and Jerry Seinfeld, and I had my trunk of shit.
Wow.
And they would go... They'd say, I never forget, they'd say, you do five, you do a trunk, you do five, you know. And it was allotted by the how many trunks I had. Seriously. I mean, I ain't kidding you. I was like,
you do five minutes, you
do a trunk. And like, how much in your trunk? 5 minutes, 5 minute trunk. Damn. But I would drag all my shit, and they would, oh my God, it was crazy. Especially doing the comedy clubs in L.A., because it was just, you know, you're just doing guest sets and you'd have to drag. I'd drag my stuff and I'd sit with it and go set it up and have to, and then tear it down and wait for all the comics to get done, then bring it back and then load it up and then drag it to my truck. But and every comic in the world back then used to tell me, you're not going to be doing this. You're not going to drag this shit the rest of your life. You're going to just have an act. I said, this is my act. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
So they did. They gave me shit all the time. They're like, you're not going to drag this shit. I said, no, I'm going to have people drag it.
Yeah,
so now
roadies.
Now I have people drag it.
Is there some stuff that you think of that you like? How do you find all these different props? You just go to Walmart and look for this, and this.
Yeah, some I find and some I make. You know, some.
How do you make them?
I just make them. Yeah, I have the idea, like the popcorn tub with the thing.
Yeah,
I have the idea. So, you know, the joke is it's a popcorn tub for women when they go see 50 Shades of Grey. So I'm thinking, what would that be? It's a popcorn tub with a finger that kind of goes like this, you know. And then I draw it out, I sketch it out, I draw it, and then I go find the stuff to make it. Yeah, I get a hand, then I buy a popcorn tub, and then I get a motor, and then I literally build the motor into the hand and put a button. And yeah,
how are you building motors in the hands? Are you like,
I know. My dad was an engineer. My dad was a NASA engineer, so I got some of that from him. I think. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You're still doing this yourself?
Yeah. I have a guy that helps me, but I still come up with them myself. And then if it's something that's that hard, I have him build it. Yeah.
What's the hardest prop you've ever had to make?
That was one. It was kind of hard.
The popcorn diddler.
I have another one that was a Thunder from Down Under. It was a male torso with a dildo that had, each nipple had left nipple had a button you push that would make the dick go up, and then the left one would make it shake. So I go, and I go, it's still backstage, and it kills you. You're right in the front row. There's some girl in the front row, and you go, and it's brilliant. It's great. And if it works, you're like, God damn it. And then I had one not work tonight. The tampon purse didn't work. So yeah.
How did it not work?
Yeah, I don't know. I said the kids in the sweatshop. That one up, but yeah,
well, yeah. The shake weight
worked.
The jizz coming out worked. That worked great.
Thank you.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Just a couple more questions. What's your favorite prop that you've had?
Oh man, I don't know.
Let me rephrase.
Well, yeah,
question.
I have one.
Go ahead.
I mean, I have a couple. One George Carlin came up to me one time and said,
"You met George Carlin."
I knew George Carlin really well.
Wow, that's great.
One of my heroes, I got to meet him, and the joke that I remember, I did a TV show, I don't remember, I think it was a Christmas special, and it was a whole bunch of comics, me and him and a couple other people, and I did my set, and I came off, and he came over to me, and he's like, that was funny as shit. And I said, well, you know, the whole, you know, the, my set. I said, oh, cool. He's like, no, seriously, that was good shit, man. And I said, really? I'm like, oh, my God. I had a telephone. Remember the paper cups and string?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a paper cup and string joke. And the joke was there's two cups and string with paper cups. And I used to go, hey, what's going on? I said, this is, you know, this is the old version. We need an updated version of the paper cups and string for kids today. So another cup came out for call waiting. So I said, I have another call, and another cup came out. I said, I'm on another call. I got to call you back. And then three cups would come out, and I said, it's conference calling. And then I'd throw it. It would call forwarding. And then I had a clear cup. It's caller ID. I know you're there. Pick up. And he was like, that's brilliant. That shit's fucking. And he was like in my face, like, that's good shit, man. And I'll never forget that. So that's one of my favorite shows. It was clever and funny. And even Jerry Seinfeld came to me one day and told me the same joke. He said, I like that paper cup joke you do. So,
which is amazing when those guys come and tell you that. Because now you're
validation.
Over.
Yeah, you get that view, the validation. And then and Gary Shandling. I was on the Tonight Show. And he was the guest, the first guest, and I was the second guest. And they, Jay said, you gonna thanks for coming. He said, no, I want to see Karen Tom. And I came out and I did my.
What's his voice?
Yeah, I want to see Karen Tom. I forget how he talks now, but I used to do a good. I used to do a good Gary Shandling.
I want to see Karen Tom.
So he waited for me, and I did my thing, and I had a plate for bulimics, and it was a plate. It was a toilet with a plate attached to it, so you could eat and throw up at the same time. And after he's like, "Play for bulimics, that was great." And so he was like, it was a validation of like, and I was young. I was like, "Wow, Gary Shandling, you know, stayed and watched my act, and actually came over and commented afterwards. It was brilliant." So yeah,
it's pretty validating, like you said, like over the course of these 20 years or 30 years, where you were like, oh, it's the prop comedian. Now people are understanding how awesome it is what you do, because you're the only guy that – and there's other guys that does it, but as far as guys of your level, you are the peak of as far as prop comedy.
There hasn't been one.
There really hasn't been.
There's another prop comic.
I could think Gallagher.
I mean new ones.
There's nothing.
Oh, Gallagher's pre-me. So
no one wants to touch
you. He was my hero.
Right.
There's no other I haven't seen one, so I don't think anyone wants to be a prop comic. I think they're all like, that shit.
You've had
I don't want
the
yeah, they, no, they don't want to be they don't want the harassment. I don't blame them. You know, I took a tough road.
Last question, how did you get the name Carrot Top?
Funny enough, it's funny about that. I thought of it my own. I was a marketing major in school, and I had gone to do an open mic at the college. They had a whatever, you could do anything, you sing, dance, whatever. And I said, do you have any comedy? And they said, no. So I went up and just told jokes. So I told, you know, old jokes. Like, you know, there's a joke like, you know, old lady's yelling at her husband, I'm tired of you talking behind my back and pushing me around. You're in a fucking wheelchair. Just jokes. And so I did those jokes.
Henny Youngman.
Yeah. Yeah. Ring. Yeah. And so I did that for a couple seasons at school, and people were like, wow, that's pretty funny. This, you know, comedian guy. I was going by Scott Thompson.
Mm hmm. And not so, to be confused with the Kids in the
right,
Hall, Scott
right.
Thompson.
And that's not even a joke, but it's when I thought back then, I said, I can't be Scott Thompson because it's already Scott Thompson.
And that's a true thing. He's sort a real guy. Famous,
yeah.
Great comedian.
So
yeah.
I said, I got to change it up. And I remember thinking, Carrot Top. And I was called that a few times, but not that many times.
Because you have red hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wasn't that many times, but I thought Carrot Top. So I drew this little logo in my dorm room, and I drew Carrot Top. And it was kind of like the old figures. The bathroom used to be a symbol of a man with a round head, and a girl had the skirt, and the guy had the thing. So I did the exact same thing. I put the round head with the thing, except I said Carrot Top. It was a carrot instead of a thing.
Right.
I remember my roommate said, I said, look, what's that? I said, it's my logo. And he's like, your logo? And I said, yeah. He says, for what? I said, when I become, you know, like the Stones or Grateful Dead, I have my logo. You don't have an act. I said, I know, but I have a logo.
Right.
And not even joking, I had a logo before I had an act. And all these comics, Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy, all these guys, they gave me so much shit. Like, I used to put my logo in my trunk lid. And they said, what, do you have a fucking logo? And I said, yeah, why not? So when people left the club, they remembered Carrot Top. And anyway, it is funny thinking back 30 years ago that when I came up with this stupid thing, that it stuck and it worked, because it really was kind of a silly idea.
And now you have your own room in Vinnie Paul's dorm room.
Yes.
The Carrot Top.
Yeah.
How many times has Vinnie come to see you?
Oh, I'm not kidding you. Hundreds.
The
I've been to see Carrot Top 167 times. That was like 2 years, four, 3 years ago.
I'm not kidding. He's probably been. It's free, so that's why he comes a lot. But he does come a lot. God bless Vinny Paul. He's a good man.
Dude, last question. Who's your favorite band?
Your last question before. My favorite band.
Yeah,
Queen. For sure.
Queen of all time.
Oh, all time. Used to be the Stones until I met Roger, and then I got to meet. Unfortunately, I never got to meet Freddie Mercury, but Queen. Hey, look, they're right there. Look,
that's
right there.
I see that. Right, it's the picture right there. Queen. Dude, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me, man. That was fun.
It was a blast. Thank you, man.
Hope you had that recorded.
We're shaking hands. Oh, I didn't press record. What?
If you're in Vegas, you really need to go see Carrot Top's show at the Luxor. It's hilarious. Prop comedy at its finest. He throws everything up against the wall. Some of it sticks, some of it doesn't, but it's all funny. After the show is done, you'll be laughing. I guarantee it. He does 6 shows a week at the Luxor, and you can get ticket information at carrottop.com. It's a combination comedy show and rock show, and it's a lot of fun. So thanks to Carrot Top. Great guy. And thanks to you guys for supporting all of the amazing Talk is Jericho sponsors, including the one who's been with this show since the very first episode, Amazon. Please use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links whenever you do any online shopping. Easiest way to support the show. All my Amazon links are at podcastone.com. Click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for the USA, the UK, the Canada. Every time you use these links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to this show to help us cover production costs. You can buy anything you want on Amazon. As a matter of fact, be a Talk is Jericho Amazon warrior. Post a picture of what you've bought on Amazon on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho, and I will retweet it and I will follow you. I want to see what you buy at Amazon because you can get anything. Remember, go to podcastone.com, click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. Send me the pics of what you're buying and I will post them. Okay. And thanks to all my other great sponsors, including ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Use the DDP Yoga Now app, harrys.com. Use my promo code Jericho to get $5 off your auditor. Switch Driver, go to works.switchdriver.com. Use the promo code Chris to get 10% off and free shipping. I enjoy my Switch Driver. It really works. I'm very excited to have it. And also there's TrueCar and also Geico. Use all the sponsors. Check it out. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button at iTunes if you haven't already. You won't miss any of the crazy rock and roll stories, wrestling stories, comedians, paranormal, athletes, porno stars. All of them are here on Talk is Jericho. Just hit the subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and a comment or two. I really do read the comments, and your ratings and reviews are what's going to get this podcast to number one on the iTunes chart, okay? Help out Talk is Jericho. Help us get to number one. Tell all your friends about us and subscribe on iTunes as well. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. And this Friday, the patriarch, the oldest brother of the Hart family, Brett's brother, Natty's uncle, Smith Hart, will be here. And boy, oh boy, is he ever a character. I'll tell you right now. He is, he's a Hart. I'll tell you that. It's a tremendous show. Talking all about the most famous family in the pro wrestling business. Smith Hart will be here on Friday. We'll see you then. And a big, yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.